Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm very happy to sit with you. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor, with your legs crossed loosely in front, or in a chair or on the sofa. And if it's comfortable, sit with your feet flat on the floor. And remember that sitting on a chair is equally as spiritual as sitting on the floor. So before we get started, I want to just say what a hard time it is in the wake of the US election for everyone, I would say. Even people for whom the election results were positive. It's still a time of divisiveness and fear, I would say. And for many, heartbreak. So I can't help just say that right up front. I cannot make you feel anything other than what you feel. I can't point to an escape route. I can't point to some Buddhist-y, spiritual-y thing that's like, oh, everything's fine. It's a developing situation, as they say. But I do want to share a little bit about what I've learned from my 30 plus years of Buddhist practice and study about how to meet difficult moments. Or more accurately, I would say how not to meet difficult moments. So it's important to start with reflexive reactions to difficulty and the additional problems that they create. So, as you may know or may not know, the first noble truth of Buddhism altogether is the very cheerful life is suffering, which doesn't mean life sucks. It means it doesn't quite work out. Doesn't quite work out. Don't take my word for that. Don't take the Buddha's word for that. Don't take anyone's word for anything while you're at it. Think about that for yourself and see. So in Buddhist thought, suffering is not optional. Things aren't going to work out. Even when they do, they'll fall apart, you know, blah, 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 all the things. We have loss, we have pain, we have disappointment. We have very painful things in our lives. Those are unavoidable. However, there's something called the suffering of suffering, which is what we add on to the core suffering that makes it more difficult. And suffering, while not being optional, suffering of suffering, optional. So one way of thinking of the suffering of suffering is to consider what are called the three poisons. These are things that we try to throw in between ourselves and the painful situations of our lives. It's understandable. I'm not saying, you know, oh, don't do that. Just saying, become aware when you do it. That's helpful because the poisons are unsurprisingly poisonous, and not just to you, but to those you encounter. So just briefly, we'll talk about the three poisons, and then we'll practice. Because our practice is essential in developing discernment about times that we are applying the three poisons and times we are not. So the first poison is called grasping, which has something to do with, I don't want this to be true. I need everybody to reassure me. I need to find a way to understand this that makes it less painful for me. No problem. I mean, please work at those things. But when it's a sort of way of avoiding pain instead of examining pain, it becomes a poison. And this one's my personal favorite of the three, by the way, the one I tend to do the most, which is, somebody help me. Somebody explain it. Somebody tell me what to do now. You know, those are normal human things. But at some point, they become counterproductive. And also, there is nothing to grasp onto is the main thing to note. So when you're looking to hold on to something to make yourself feel better, you're not going to find it, and therefore it's poisonous. The second poison is called aggression, which means something like, I don't want the thing that's causing me suffering to be true or to be present or to be. So I'm going to do everything I can to destroy it. And I'm not talking about the fight for justice and liberty and tolerance. Those are things we should fight for. So all fighting is not aggression. But aggression is trying to destroy something because it makes me feel bad. And sure, okay, let's all try to dissolve the things that make us feel bad. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to do. But most often the aggression is directed at other people. And I will tell you, not being a historian or an academic, nonetheless, I believe the entire history of human experience will bear me out here. Fighting aggression with aggression leads to more aggression. So there's a lot of aggression in our world, and it's understandable to want to take it down. And there are ways to make that effort that can lead to liberation, and ways to make that effort that multiply the problem. The antidote to aggression, I would say, and probably to all the poisons, is to let yourself feel the pain of the suffering for now, for a moment, for a minute, for an hour, for some period of time, so that you develop some sense of agency through familiarity with your experience. Because when we're constantly trying to offload it and brush it off, we don't develop familiarity, and therefore lose the possibility of agency over our inner experience. Hope this makes sense. So the main aggression that I feel right now in the atmosphere, and I try not to do this, but hopefully I succeed, I don't know, is talking about how terrible things are, and they are. But when we talk about how terrible things are, to sort of push some of my anxiety onto you, so you will hold it for me, or just so I can see, do you agree with me? Therefore, I might feel a little bit of relief. That's aggression. You're giving your bag of something for me to hold, and now I have to hold it. And you're doing it to make yourself feel better, but you make me feel worse. I'm not saying me personally. But that's a form of aggression. I'm just going to randomly spew my fears into the environment so that I have a little bit less to hold. Now, a similar but seemingly opposite form of aggression is I'm going to spew my goodness, my good-naturedness, and my cheerfulness and my hopefulness onto the environment because I don't want to feel afraid, and your fear scares me. So I'm just going to say, remember that all things are possible and try not to choose fear. Okay. That's a little bit new agey nonsense in there, and it's some spiritual bypassing on top. But it's also a form of aggression. I'm going to ignore my pain and ignore your pain because I want them out of here. Doesn't work. If it worked, it would be different. The third poison is called delusion. Which is maybe the most difficult one, actually, because it's an unwillingness to look. I don't want to see what's going on. I don't want to feel what's going on. I'm going to go about my business, and this is me going about my business right now. So I'm not saying don't do that, and I'm certainly not saying push your face in difficult news headlines and ignore the news or sink into the news as you wish. That's your choice. But to pretend that this suffering is not all around, or a little bit connected to the second poison, to try constantly to recontextualize it as good news or the natural way of events or something that we might use to explain it that is meant to help us to not feel the pain. of ourselves and of others. Three poisons: grasping, sometimes called passion; aggression; delusion, sometimes called ignorance. It doesn't help to go, don't do those, but it does help to notice when you do do those and get some sense of, again, familiarity with your own reactions. The antidote, it would seem, to all three poisons is to feel. All of them, in some ways, at least when I deploy them, are ways of distancing me from my own feelings, because sometimes they feel unbearable. Sometimes they are. But a lot of harm is done in our individual and collective efforts to avoid sorrow. So, feeling, not the story of what you feel because of this or because of that. Sure, the story is great. You got a good story, no problem. I got a bunch of great stories. But the feeling is not the story. The feeling is something that I can experience in a more visceral way. That's another subject. So, in the meantime, let's sit together. Please begin your practice by forgetting about everything I just said or everything you thought about what I just said and relax. And here, relaxing means being as you are, exactly as you are. The legs, as mentioned, can be crossed loosely in front or the feet flat on the floor. The hands rest, palms down, somewhere at mid-thigh. Really give your weight to the cushion or chair or whatever you're sitting on and have a sense of landing and sitting tall and firm and dignified like a mountain. Relax the front body, relax the belly a lot. Relax the shoulders. Mouth is closed. Let the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. Breath is natural in and out through the nose. No breathing technique, just you're awesome at breathing already, so please keep doing that. The eyes are open, and the gaze is soft and receptive and cast down to a comfortable spot in front, up to 6 feet or 1.5 meters or something comfortable given the distance of your screen or the room that you're in. And let the eyes receive rather than search. Let your attention come to rest on the breath. And by this, I mean feel the body breathing. Feel the inhale and the exhale. Inhale. Exhale and stay with the breath as best you can, feeling rather than observing the body breathe. Your mind continues to make thoughts, just like your ears continue to hear and your eyes continue to see. There's no off switch for these things. No problem. The great majority of your thoughts will just come and go, like pop, like little bubbles on their own without really overly distracting you from your breath. So don't worry about those thoughts. Just let them come and go. However, if you notice that you become absorbed in a line of thought to the point where you have spaced out, like you're no longer aware of your breath at all, therefore you're not meditating anymore, that's good to know. Notice that. Label that thinking. Thinking and meditating are different. That's thinking. Let go. Don't skip that. That's the good part. Gently come back to this breath and start again. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. I feel it. And thank you for practicing together. The Open Heart Project is an extraordinary community. And I'm so glad we're in it together.